What's up, everybody? Welcome to the Summit Church Podcast. Today we're talking about wisdom. We're in a sermon series about wisdom, and Monica and I wanted a chance to sit down and talk to directly to our students and their parents and the families of all the young people in our church. And we're excited to get to share some wisdom from our table to your table. So it's going to be a lot of fun today. We've got a few questions we're going to run through, and so I hope you enjoy. You ready?
I'm ready.
Let's do it. Monica's going to ask most of the questions, and you're just going to get to hear me ramble. So, Monica, hop in. Let's do it.
Okay. So, it seems like everyone's so busy all the time.
I agree.
These days. So, yep. How do you make time for God in the midst of your busy schedule?
How do I make time for God in the midst of my busy schedule? I've been like, kind of, I like phrases, things that are kind of like, make sense to me. And something we're actually talking about for camp this year, one of our phrases is this: morning sets our foundation. And so, I like this thought of, when I'm balancing all the things that I've got to do during the day, whether it's my schoolwork I'm doing for seminary, whether it's family time, my son's practice schedule for soccer, or just being together and doing things or having meetings for work, I like the thought that whatever I do in the morning sets my tone for the day. And so if I roll out of bed and like roll in straight to work, or like roll out of bed and just go to the car rider line for my son, like I'm already starting off bad.
Right.
Like I'm not starting off in a good way. Like it's already kind of holding me back a little bit. And so for me, if I start my days with good things, like if I wake up early and I start with God, I start with some time in the Word, I read maybe like on my phone, whatever it is, like that always gets me started off better.
Mm-hmm.
Also, when I start off and make coffee first, that also helps too.
Right.
So I think for me, it's that morning sets my foundation. That helps me kind of put my values in line for the day.
Mm-hmm.
And so as I'm making decisions, like I'm going in with God and all the things I'm doing, versus just being on my own. I've rolled out of bed and was hoping for the best.
Mm-hmm.
So morning sets my foundation. That's probably the best for me. What about you?
So I'm a schedule. I'm a pretty routine.
We know this.
Person, right? And so every Sunday night, I sit down and in my notes app, I do a day by day schedule for
myself.
That's kind of fun. So I know what I'm getting myself into for the week. And so I look at my days that maybe are a little bit busier, that I maybe might not wake up on time, or like that I just feel I'm not gonna make that time for God if I don't have it in my schedule. I write it in.
Okay.
I put it in the schedule so it's something that, it's not just like something that I'm like, oh, like if I have extra time, I'll do this, but it's something that isn't free time, but it's just like I've put it on the schedule, I've scheduled God in.
Okay.
And so I'm way more likely to abide by that and follow that rather than just like, if I have time.
Okay.
So making that schedule is very helpful.
I like that. So scheduling God in during your regular day, instead of just hoping that you might make time for it, like actually putting it down the beginning of your week when you're really going to spend time with God that week. That's
exactly.
Cool. I think most people don't do that. That's awesome. I like that.
Different.
I think another big thing on like the minds of students is friendships, relationships.
Okay.
What do you have any questions about that?
I do.
You're ready.
So when like lots of options for friendships
okay.
in like school, sports, extracurriculars, whatever. So how do you choose the right friends or make good friends?
Okay. I think for me, when it comes to friendship, it's really about, there's like data and things that go around about, you're really the culmination of five people that you hang out with the most. And so when I'm thinking about friendships, when I'm thinking about like who I should choose as a friend, I'm really thinking about who I want to become. And so as I'm thinking about people that I want to like bring into my inner circle or bring into my life, for me it's more about if I'm trying to be more focused on the Word, or I'm trying to focus on being a better Christian, I want to focus on people that are further and farther than me in that, so that they're going to encourage me there as well.
Right.
If I have five friends that are athletes, I'm probably going to be a pretty decent athlete because that's what all of my friends are doing. And so it doesn't mean all of your friends have to be that thing, but choosing really good people to bring in close to your inner circle really makes a big difference, because that's ultimately who you're becoming, is the people around you. And really, I think about three big things, and I'm trying to choose a friend for myself. I'm thinking about loyalty first. To me, loyalty is big. Like, I want to know you're going to stick with me in the really good moments, and I want to know you're going to be with me in the down moments too. And so a friend that's going to be there through all of it.
Mm-hmm.
The second is trustworthy. I want to be able to talk to somebody and know like they're actually going to hold on to that thing. It's going to be trustworthy. So if I hear someone that's constantly telling me about other people, I know the truth is I probably can't trust them very much, because then they're going to do the same thing when I tell them stuff. And then finally, it's common interests. Like, I want a friend for me. Like, I want you to roll up into my house and just like grab my snacks, look in the fridge, hang out with me. Like, if we could sit on the couch and just do stuff together, that's a win to me. And whether it's the shows we're watching, the places we're going, the things we're doing, if we're doing it together and we have those common interests shared, then it's a good friendship. If I'm like if I'm making you my friend because I need to mm-hmm. make you my friend, like, I'm like, you're probably, it's not a good fit. Right. Like, it has to be someone I want to be with on a regular basis. Agreed. And so the common interest is big to me. Mm-hmm. What about you?
I think with all the options of just like, maybe you have someone that you sit next to them in a class, so you're mm-hmm. friends with them, or you're on the same sports team or stuff like that. There's just so many options for all these situational friends. But I think it's really important to intentionally choose those people, like you said, who mm-hmm. are shaping who you're becoming. Mm. So those people that you're gonna go to for advice, those people that you wanna be spending that extra time with, mm-hmm. Eating your snacks, watching TV, like whatever. So I think it's really important to focus on that and not be afraid of like, oh, like I sit next to this person on this, like in this class, and we're really good friends there, but like, mm-hmm. I don't really want them to shape who I'm becoming. That's okay. You can still have a good time with them, but to be intentional about who you're like letting shape your future and who you're gonna be.
I like that. That's good. What else you got for me?
Okay. This is a big one. This is a big one for, I'd say everyone, but specifically students these days.
All right.
How do you know the plans God has for you?
I'll be honest, this is a question we've talked about a lot. I talk to students about this question all of the time, because thinking about your future, I mean, we're all kind of forward-thinking people, thinking about what's next, what's college, what, I mean, all of the things. It's really hard sometimes to make wise decisions and also to really think about really what God wants for the rest of my life. Mm-hmm. And so when I think about that, I approach it like this. I told you I'm a phrase person, so this is my phrase for the day. Wise decisions come from wise counsel. Mm-hmm. Wise decisions come from wise counsel. In fact, in Proverbs, it talks about this idea of you're going to win the war with the best advisors around you. Mm-hmm. If you're going to try to go out and win a war on your own, you're probably going to lose mm-hmm. because you're making decisions on your own. We don't know the best. But when we put like a council around us, put a team around us, we're going to make a lot better decisions. And I think the same is true for our everyday life. That when we have a team of people around us to kind of help us move forward and kind of help us make decisions, mm-hmm. that's one of the best things we can do. But I think ultimately there's a couple questions that I ask myself when I'm trying to make another step, when I'm trying to discern really what's next for me or if this is a good path to take. I'm asking myself a few things. One is this: is it true to who I am? If I'm thinking at the end of the day, like who Micah is this a decision or a plan that I would move forward with? Mm-hmm. And ultimately, a lot of the times, I realize like, oh, like, no, like, that's not true of me, or I would do that. And the second thing is this: is it true of who God made me to be? Mm-hmm. And so is it in line with who I am? Is it in line with who God wants me to be, who God made me to be? Then if that's yes, then you move forward. But if it's a no, then ultimately, it's probably not worth moving forward with it because it's what's going to like hold you back. I mean, if you're really pushing forward into who you are and who God made you to be, really, you should just take the next step. Sometimes when you're pushing forward, just making the next step is what's important, because most of the time we can get caught in indecision and like we're not ready to do anything about it because we're not sure if that's what God wants for us. But sometimes if I think about my own journey, all the places I've been that have gotten me where I am today, I never would have guessed the steps along the way. Yeah. But continually saying yes to what God has for me, saying yes to what I feel like he was calling me to do in the moment, has made a huge difference in my life as I've tried to navigate what the future is and what God still has for me. It's still a question I'm asking today, you know?
Right.
So it's not something that goes away. It's something you kind of figure out over time. What about you?
I think step one, in my mind, the most important thing is just surrendering control of your like ideas of what you want for your future, or just kind of like this plan that you've set for yourself. Surrendering that control to God and just trusting that God will lead you wherever he's going to lead you. And I think that there's definitely times where I've imagined myself doing certain things that the Lord redirects, that I have to surrender that control of like, it's not in my best interest to stay where God isn't calling me, you know, where I think even if it's what I imagined myself doing, then kind of straying from that, but for the purpose of this is where God is leading me, I think surrendering that control is super, it's not easy, but it's super beneficial and worth it in the long run. And just trusting that like step by step the Lord will reveal to me what's next is something that I find a lot of peace in, and a lot of like rest in that promise.
I love what you said. I think like knowing that like God has good intentions for me, like God has good will for my future, I think is super, super important. He might not like, you know, God has a plan for us. It might not be step A to Z, but there are things that God wants for your life, the things that God wants for all of us. And I think that's surrendering that control is that's huge.
Agree.
That's huge.
Agree.
What else you got?
Okay. So as you're growing up, as you're navigating this relationship with your parents, how do you balance respect and friendship?
Oh, interesting. I think we get to offer a pretty unique perspective here. Mm-hmm. I'm a little bit further down the road than you. Mm-hmm. I've been like independent for 10 plus years now, where you're in the phase of where a lot of our students are about to be, kind of heading out of the house, becoming an adult, but still having this relationship with mom and dad. Mm-hmm. I think for me, you need to respect your parents, like plain and simple, because God asks us to. I mean, and that's one of the Ten Commandments, so having to honor our father and mother. And so ultimately, no matter what our relationship is with our parents, I think we have to begin to respect them. Mm-hmm. We have to start with respect. And that's where it kind of goes further from there, especially as you get older. I think when you respect your parents, they begin to respect you back. Mm-hmm. And that respect then leads to friendship. So when there's a mutual respect between you both, it actually leads to a better, deeper friendship.
Yeah.
If down the road you're kind of thinking, I don't know what I want with the parents, I'm not sure where I want my relationship to be with them, leading with respect now can open up a lot of doors with them in the future. I think there's conversations I've had to have with my mom where like my mom and I are really close, but I'm like, hey, I need a friend right now. Like, I don't need my mom to help me make this decision. I need a confidant, someone who knows me really well to help make this decision with me. And so I think that's key to it. The other part is, I know there's a lot of students that don't necessarily have the best relationship with their parents. I think one of the things to think about now is, where do you want your relationship with your parents to be like in the future? If you're in a place now where you're kind of like frustrated with your parents, or they're trying to, you feel like they're trying to make decisions for you, I think the best thing you can do is respect them now. Yeah. Because you're trying to think about 10, 15 years down the road, what do you want your relationship with them to look like? And ultimately, I know this sounds silly and cliche, but when you have kids of your own, it really changes things. I've got three young boys now, and I can way better understand my parents and the things they were doing now that I have kids of my own. And so I would say to someone who's struggling with their parents and like a relationship, don't sever ties with them completely unless you feel like you ultimately have to for your health. I think the better you can do to kind of continue that relationship to foster, to show them respect. When you show them respect, then they're also going to respect you as well. And so do whatever you can to honor that relationship first and foremost. What about your perspective? I know it's a little bit different than mine.
Right. Yeah. Okay, so like, I'm an adult, but I also live at home. So this balance is something that
every day.
Yes, every day where I'm going through this. This balance and kind of seeing where is respect and where is friendship important, where does it lie? And so I think you touched on it perfectly, that like you earn your parents' trust and respect to kind of live in that freedom later. So I think throughout like my middle and high school years, I spent a lot of time earning my parents' trust and earning my parents' respect, that now that I am living back at home but I'm also an adult, they trust me now, and they trust me to let me be independent and to let me have certain freedoms that I maybe wouldn't have had previously. So I think all that kind of work I could say I put in earlier has really paid off now. And I think, like you said, I get to see them as a friend sometimes, where it's like they're not telling me what to do as a parent, but I'm asking for their advice as a friend. Is a really cool kind of switch I've seen, especially in these more recent months.
All right. One big final question. Okay. I know you got one for me.
Yeah, last question. Is social media bad?
Is social media bad? Man, no. I mean, initially my answer is no. Like, social media is not bad. This kind of goes back to time management a little bit. Social media is a really good thing. In fact, for me, like as an adult now, I've moved away from home, and so I get to connect with a lot of my friends still. So I mean, there's a lot of connection I would not get to do otherwise without actually having to text or have a phone call. I can keep up with people's lives, I can pay close attention to what they're doing, but I don't have to necessarily pester them to be their friend, if that makes sense. And so there's good in it, but also in the day-to-day basis of life, I think it's probably we just need to think about living in margin, living in moderation, all those types of things, and living, I think all of that's key. I think it's true in every area of our life, but really for social media, moderation is key. I mean, if you're getting to Sunday, and iPhone users, you get to your little screen time report, and it's 9+ hours a day, like, yeah, that's bad. Like, in that sense, social media is bad. Most of the time that you're spending staring at your phone, like, I wouldn't say you ever really walk, unless it's for work or from schoolwork or something like that, you're not really walking away like you've done something or gained something. You really just kind of had an outlet to doom scroll and not pay attention. And it was kind of like an outlet to decompress a little bit. I think too, like, in that margin conversation or in that trying to figure out how much is the balance. I'm not saying there's a right answer, but I mean, if you think about it, if you spend, I don't know, let's say 5 hours a day is your average screen time. Okay. If you take that over a whole year, that's 2,000 hours. Mm-hmm. 2,000 hours you spent staring at your phone. Right. And I would say most likely that's 2,000 hours wasted. Mm-hmm. And so what else could you do with your time? I mean, what other things could you be doing with that? So finding the balance. Yeah. Social media is not bad. Your phone isn't bad. Mm-hmm. What you do with it could be bad. And trying to find the better rather than just being obsessed with it. We've talked about that recently in student ministry. Yeah. Like, the obsession isn't worth anything. Like, it's not, it doesn't actually lead to anything. Mm-hmm. It's only detrimental for yourself. And so trying to figure out what you could do with it instead and trying to be able to lead social media in a good way that does bring you life is interesting. Well, Monica, thanks for the conversation today.
Thank you.
It was fun. The Summit Church Wisdom Podcast. We out.